Chipotle de Sada, beer nuts. He's not Southern. He's from Boston. The Boston accents are hard. Did you know that I live in New England?
Yeah.
I just found out.
Oh. Yeah, I knew that was New England.
This move has exposed so much for me.
Okay, so we've learned Vermont is not, in fact, in Canada.
No.
We know Connecticut is in New England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was behind some people and they had real Boston accents. It was really exciting.
That's fun because if you don't know, we came from Arizona. And so we are not around that type of stuff. So you are kind of experiencing things our family has never experienced.
It's true. And hopefully you're going to come visit and you'll hear it too. But I could listen to a Boston accent all day because it seems fake. It doesn't seem like they're being consistent.
Do you think it's just like sloppy with the way they talk, like however they feel like it?
I think they do whatever they want. And I don't think I'm supposed to criticize it.
Friends, you are listening to the Struggle Well Project podcast, the show dedicated to helping you not run away from home. Each week, I do my best to make sure you learn something new, laugh a whole lot, and remember that you are already enough. So last Monday, I unpacked a couple major topics with Sarah Clarkson. We talked about reading books and how it's not too late for somebody like me who doesn't feel like she is a reader to maybe become one after all. We talked about obsessive compulsive disorder, and we talked about a really intense season of loneliness that she went through, how she got out of it and what she learned. You don't want to miss out on that, so make sure to circle back and tune in if you haven't yet. So at the top of the show, you heard my sister discover that she does in fact live in New England. How great is that, that she saves those discoveries for a recorded conversation? I love that about my sister. We are having so much fun with our Patreon people. There is a Facebook group that they're a part of with all kinds of interaction. We do live things with them. We do polls with them. They get decals from us. Like, it's so fun. If you are interested in more from me and my sweet sister, go to patreon.com/strugglewellproject and get access to all those super secret things that we do with our Patreon people. I do want to take a moment and thank the Lauras who are supporting us on Patreon. There are five of you. I need you to know you are beating the Amandas. There's only four of them, but you're still behind the Amys. There are six Amys. So Lauras, thank you. Laura Unruh, Laura Johnston, Laura Jones, Laura Krall, and Laura Oliver. And also, if you're from a different spot and you say Laura, sorry about that. In fact, talk about this with Haley in just a minute, that I don't say it that way. I think it's Laura. So I hope I haven't offended any of you. So my guest this week is Haley Morgan. She is a boy mom. She's an author. She runs a couple of small businesses. I asked her to come on the show because she's done a lot of work on kind of silencing your inner critic and preaching to yourself. I really love what Haley is up to, and I know that you will too. So let's go ahead and jump right in. Hey, Haley, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm so good. This is not pertaining to anything, but I love your name is so cute with the H-A-Y-L-E-Y. It's like symmetrical. I'm looking at it going, I love it. It's cute.
Oh, thank you. When people call me Haley, I always think that that's spelled H-A-L-E-Y, but Haley is in my head how you say my name.
Okay. I can't hear the difference.
Yeah. Like Haley or Haley.
Haley. Oh, they say it like hail, like a hailstorm.
Yeah.
Haley. Okay. I didn't know that. I was saying my friend Laura's name wrong for like 6 years.
Oh, yeah. I have like a really Southern pronunciation, I think, is like Laura.
They all say it that way here, Laura.
And I'm yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm sorry. I've been doing this wrong the whole time.
I know. She's one of my best friends and I don't even say her name right. How sad. I know. She doesn't care, but I hear other people say it. I'm like, why are you saying it like that? Anyway, yeah. That's not why I brought you on here today. So you have a book and I definitely want to talk about it, but I also want to talk about how you have so many boys.
Yes.
Tell us about yourself and your family.
Yeah, I have. Okay, so we live in like Midwestern suburbia. So just to give you a little bit of context for
Let's
my
say.
Life, we live in Indiana.
Okay.
Yep. So we're about 40 minutes outside of Indianapolis and we're in like the very furthest suburb that you could get to before you get to like rural areas.
Okay.
So just to give you a little bit of like, I don't live in a cool place. I don't have a fancy life. I just have like a normal middle class Midwestern mom life. So I have 4 boys with my husband who I met in high school at youth group. And our oldest is 11. He's going to be 12. And then we have 9, 7, and 5. So yeah, they're all 2 years apart and they're all really sweet boys. And our life is super chaotic and super loud and super busy, but like they're all so sweet and kind that it makes it not feel like what you might imagine. It doesn't feel like living in a frat house, like what you might imagine. So,
okay. You know, and it may feel like that as I get older, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think maybe as they start getting more testosterone, maybe more like aggression. I'm not sure. But
smelliness.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely the smells. Don't get me wrong. They live, you know, it's a gross bathroom. I don't like cleaning their bathroom. Things yes. like that's very gross.
Okay. So the obvious question being a boy mom is, what about the girl? I mean, because so you run Nelly Taft. Isn't that girl clothes?
Yeah.
Is that how you get your girl fix?
I think it is. I've always felt like I was going to be like this leader of women and this like, I love being a woman. And I grew up in a family where my parents were kind of like the like super empowering of girls. Like they were like, you could be president. This is amazing. All of that. And so I always grew up feeling very like, I'm very prepared to like launch a girl into the world and this is going to be amazing. And then I have all these boys. So yes, that is a very real thing in my life where I feel like I have a lot of relationships with younger, like young adult women right now in my life. So I get kind of the fix that way. But yes, also Nelly Taft. We do in general, I don't care what my boys wear. Like I'm not a fancy boy clothes mom. They're not wearing like 3-piece suits and fedoras and things like that. They're wearing like Under Armour and Nike and just basketball shorts and shirts and sneakers. So, but yes, I do get my girl fix, I think probably through Nelly Taft and through generally the creative end.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me about Nelly Taft. Do you design those things? Do you?
Yeah. So I had a company called Wildly Co. and that was ethically made kids clothes.
Yeah. Tell me about what happened with Wildly Co. because my husband still wears the gray shirt with the red lines.
Yes. Yes. So Wildly Co. we started it in about 4 years ago-ish, and we created it to be like an ethically made kids clothing line. And I designed that like soup to nuts, the whole thing. Went out to California to source the fabric, like searched in warehouses for dead stock fabric where they, it might be like the runs of something from Anthro or from J. Crew or something like that, where they don't need the end of the bolt of the fabric. Mm. And so it just goes and sits in a warehouse and they sell it for cheaper than what you might buy. And it's a good way to kind of reduce the footprint and use things that were just going to be thrown in the trash and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I did that and it was great. But we found that with the intersection of kind of how much you have to sell to make it so that kids' clothes don't cost $78 for a t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was better to buy wholesale rather than creating it ourselves. Okay. And so we kind of morphed into trying to buy things wholesale for Wildly Co. instead of producing all of our own stuff all the time. But we ran into just normal business production issues where we couldn't get things in the right amount of time since we weren't producing it. We didn't have as much control over everything.
Yeah.
And so we kind of made the decision just that we would close it for now and we would focus on Nelly Taft as like we shifted to that buying wholesale model for Nelly Taft. So we took kind of the remnants of the idea of Wildly Co. and shifted it into women's because I just have found that women buy clothes more quickly than women buy clothes for their kids. I think it's more impulse driven and more like, I like that. I want to see that. And I don't think we do that as much for our kids. So
yeah. Well, because they're going to destroy them and they're going to get bigger and
exactly,
whatever.
Exactly. And that became the difficult part for Wildly Co. with the ethical model is I also had the like staunch conviction that kids' clothes shouldn't cost an arm and a leg. And it's not because I think that people who do that are wrong. It's just I personally can't pay that for my kids because knowing that they're going to grow out of it, they're going to break it. And so I kind of had this vision for Wildly Co. that I wanted to make shopping ethically for your kids just like you'd go and shop at Target. Like totally not even a thought. It would just be what you did because it was in line with the prices, not with Target because that's impossible, but right. You know, just with other normal retailers. So yeah. It just kind of became an issue of where we couldn't scale it to the point where we needed to kind of reach that vision. Yeah. And as my kids were growing out of the sizes, I kind of lost steam with the solving, you know, small business, it's solving 10 problems every morning before lunch and yes. jumping hurdles and all that. So yeah, that's kind of where I got to with that.
Sometimes it's hard to make healthy habits and stick to them, but I want to tell you an easy way to do it for your face is with BioClarity. Right now, I am lean and heavy on the clear skin routine. It's for combination oily or breakout prone skin. It contains plant extracts like chamomile, green tea, and cucumber that kind of calm everything down. So it helps fight breakouts, soothe skin, minimize redness, reduce the size of my pores, which are remarkably large looking sometimes, and you see results in as little as 2 weeks. BioClarity has a unique ingredient called Floralux, and that is this clever little form of chlorophyll that is proven to nourish the skin. It's also an antioxidant and has anti-inflammatory properties that feed your skin from the outside in. So to get started on healthier habits with your skincare, go to bioclarity.com. My listeners are going to get their first month for half off, plus shipping is free. And it comes with a 100% risk-free money-back guarantee. But you need to use my code SWP. That rhymes. That was not on purpose. So that's bioclarity.com and enter my code SWP.
Can I ask how, because I think the vision, the passion for it, the starting it, and then kind of running into some barriers that you didn't foresee, yeah. That's life, right? Like we all have those things and it may not be in the scale of a business, but we're mm-hmm. all dealing with that on some level. And so I tend to be a perfectionist and I tend to, and we're going to talk about the inner critic. Yeah. My inner critic is super loud.
Yeah.
And so when you say Wildly Co, it's this big thing, it's very public, you know, yeah. you launched it and all this stuff. And then you're like, okay, well, this isn't maybe something we're going to pursue right now. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about that? Did that,
yeah.
was that hard for you? How did that play out yeah. for you?
Yeah. Well, so I also have that voice in my head that chirps all the time, but I also have that voice that I constantly have ideas and I constantly have new ways of doing like ideas of ways we could do things differently. And so I have a tendency just to start things and then adjust. And that's what Wildly Co, that's what it was. And it doesn't feel like failure. In some ways it does because my husband like did it full time with me and all of that. So in some ways it feels like, oh, taking a step back from that changes our day to day and it changes what our life looks like. But in the very real part of it, my mentality is that it moved us forward to a new place and we wouldn't have gotten where we were going without doing that. And we learned some really important lessons in life and just even lessons of like, what problems are worthy problems to try to solve and what problems are insurmountable? Like even discerning those differences is important, like you said, just as much for life as it is for business or anything like that. And I was actually just reading an article on cupofjoe.com. I don't know if you're familiar with that blog, but it's a blog called Cup of Joe. It's been around since blogs, I feel like, just started. But there was an article about, they talk about motherhood a lot on there. And there's an article about how she let her 5-year-old walk down the block to do something in New York City. They live in New York City. And she let her 5-year-old walk down the block. And she was like, I knew where he was. I knew how long it was going to be. I kind of like, it was independence, but within parameters and boundaries, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. And she was talking about just how that went. And then in the comment section, has a great comment section that blog does, but in the comment section, it just was a bunch of moms' perspectives on how much freedom you let your kids have, how much independence, all that. And I was just thinking back on my own childhood and kind of how we want to raise our kids and just knowing how much like trying to solve your own problems, how much that empowers you to solve problems in the future. And I kind of see all of my ventures that I do out as a natural like outpouring of that. And that as I continue to do it, I get better at making decisions. I get better at all of that. And I know, like, people in general, people when they're 50, their life, their professional life, their creative life, their parenting life, whatever, it doesn't look the same as it did when they were 30. And so I never think like what I'm doing now is what I'm going to be doing forever outside mm-hmm. of being a mom and my family. Like, that feels very steady and it's integral to my life. But everything else is, I feel like I have, like, the projects I do serve the ideas that I have rather than the ideas I have serve the projects. So I want to hold on to the idea and iterate on that idea more than I want to hold on to the actual project, if That's that makes great. Any sense.
Yeah.
Because I think the ideas are the things that are long lasting. I think that my heart kind of has patterns of things that I'm passionate about, that I've been passionate about since I was 5. And it just keeps changing as I grow and as I do things more and as I get better at doing them, the iterations of that change. Yeah. But it's still the same heart song, to be totally, like, nerdy. So yeah, I guess if that explains it, I don't feel like any individual thing is so much a failure as it is I try to do it really well while I'm in it and serve the people well while I'm in it and then be okay with the next phase.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. So Nelly Taft is women's clothes.
It's women's clothes, yeah.
Oh, I always thought it was little girl clothes, so I never looked at it because my little girl's 10.
Right. No, yeah, it's women's clothes. So yeah, where it's easier to buy wholesale made in the US women's clothes than it is kids' clothes. And so we kind of like morphed it into that, the idea of like making shopping like responsibly mm-hmm. a more accessible thing. So that's kind of what we've morphed into. And it's just so fun because I mean, I try to keep like a pretty minimal closet. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like I get to work out the fun of shopping without taking everything into my own closet.
That's so, good. Okay. So you shop for it. You don't design it.
I don't design it. Right. It's like buying for a department store.
Okay.
Wildly Co. was like direct to consumer. So it had more the business model of like Everlane mm-hmm. where they create everything from top to bottom. And then this is more like a department store or boutique where we go to the people who are making it and we see what they've created for the season and we choose things from that.
Okay. I have a question, and this is going to sound judgy, but it's not judgy, but because I struggle with this myself.
Yeah.
So I want to be content and I try to have not a lot of things too.
Right.
But on my show, part of my business model is I have ads, right? And so right. I'm always telling you why you need to buy all these things. So
right.
How do you feel about having a minimalistic closet and selling women's clothing?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it was easier for me when it was kids' clothes because you know that kids grow out of clothes and so they're always going to need something.
Yeah.
So it was easier to kind of, you know, make that fit into my ethos. Mm-hmm. With women, I try to, in general with marketing, I try to never make promises that are not true. Like this will change your life. Like, no, it's not going to change your life. It's just not. I try to not prey on the insecurities that people naturally have. Like, the idea of fitting in or that this is going to create a life that they kind of have in their head. Mm-hmm. I try to, I'm really sensitive to that, even in marketing my books, even in just being a personality online. I try not to be a personality, really. I try to just be myself. And that sounds cliche and everybody tries to be themselves, but mm-hmm. I try to not promise things that I know aren't really real. And I try to look at my own heart with how I respond to marketing and how I respond to kind of those subtle messages and all of marketing. I mean, back to, you know, if you watch Mad Men, it's realizing the consumer, what they feel like their life is lacking and trying to sell them a message that what you're selling them is going to fill that lack. So I kind of just try to not do that. Mm-hmm. And I try to not prey on that lack and that feeling of lack. And we recently kind of went through a long season of financial difficulty. So I also like wasn't shopping a lot. And it was, I mean, from being self-employed and you take risks and you choose to live with less while you try to fund this thing that is. And so it was a known entity. We knew that we were choosing that, but it makes changes in the way that you spend your money and things like that. And so I was very sensitive to these messages I was hearing all the time. Mm. And so it gave me a really firm foundation to kind of say, like, this is what I'm not going to do. So when we talk about Nellie Taft, it's mostly, we never say like, you have to have this or anything like that. It's more like, this is what we have. And I think I just try not to be manipulative in the messaging and how I do it.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I'm going to check it out now that I know it's not Little Girl Clothes.
Yeah.
I don't know so why I just assumed it was.
Great style. So
that's awesome. Yeah. My style is mainly gray t-shirts. So if you have some of those.
Same. Stripes. That's mine. I say stripes are my favorite color. So
I love that. I want to take a moment and tell you guys about a resource I would love for you to consider. My friend Retha Nicole, she's been on the show a couple times. She has a really unbelievable story of redemption. She has been through some really hard things, and she's come out on the other side, ready to help other women through their hard things. If you're in a place where you need a mindset shift, you need to work on helping your self-talk not be so terrible, if you would love to have a more clear vision for your life, then this is the course for you. So there's some online coursework, there's a Facebook group that's private, but then there's also coaching time with just you and Retha. What I love about Retha is she is not afraid to tell you exactly where you're off course, but it's because she loves women so much. I am even smiling as I say this because she has done it to me so many times and gotten me right on the right track. So if you are ready to make some changes, Retha's the one to help you do it. So go to mylightstillshines.com and you'll find her newest e-course under the coaching tab. So there's 2 weeks left to enroll because it starts in November. So make sure not to miss this opportunity. Again, that's mylightstillshines.com. I want to say a special thank you to our longtime podcast sponsor, PrepDish. With PrepDish, you shop once, prep once, and enjoy healthy, stress-free meals all week. I use PrepDish on a regular basis because it really does all those things. It's interesting, as my kids get older, the foods they used to consider a form of torture, they're starting to like. So like just yesterday, I pulled out of the oven roasted red potatoes and broccoli, and it was delicious. But used to, my kids would have freaked out and said, why do you hate me? Why are you making me eat this? And they gobbled it up. And I was like, well, I mean, I kind of thought that was just going to be for me, but great. I'm so glad you like it. I recently got to go to Allison, the founder's house, and she played this retreat thing so well. She made us cook. It was amazing. We prepped all the food, but we made like a cherry ice cream type situation, but out of frozen cherries and avocados. I could have eaten that whole thing by myself, but I was trying to be very polite and let the other people have some too. So with PrepDish, things like that happen. You try things that you never would have thought because Allison put in all the hard work for you, and you end up eating healthy, delicious food without having to search for hours for good recipes. I really recommend PrepDish. I think you're going to love it. Just go to PrepDish.com/SWP and try it for 2 weeks completely free. That's PrepDish.com/SWP. Okay, so tell me about adolescent boys. They're heading into middle school. Yeah. I have a 10-year-old daughter. There's a lot of feelings. They don't make a whole lot of sense. It's mm-hmm. She's starting to be more like me, which is what?
Freaky.
It's confusing. Yeah. Because I already called not making sense. So you can't also not make sense. So what is an adolescent boy like? How are you adjusting to connect with them?
Well, yeah, a big part of kind of trying to slim down my portfolio of projects that I work on is this feeling that we're moving out of the season of a ton of physical labor for our kids and just like, you know, constantly refilling the sippy cup or picking up the pacifier or sleep training, like all the things that you do for little kids, just the constantly being exhausted by their physical needs, their physical presence, all of that. And when my kids were really little, I could kind of exist in my own head and I would tend to their physical needs, but I could still be thinking of anything I wanted to be thinking about. I felt like I had so much freedom in that. And whereas I think some moms long for the physical freedom of like, you know, the time in their day, like my kids are all in school now and it's great. But for me, as they get older, it's been so much more emotional, spiritual, mental energy needed and to do it well. You know, it's not, you could half do anything, but to do it well and to kind of be the kind of mom I want to be, it takes so much more attention, so much more focus of them. Whereas like when my kids were little, for the longest time, I couldn't have plants because I had a saying in my house that if it doesn't cry, it dies. And it was great that my kids, they told me what they needed all the time, because when they needed something, they cried. And it's a natural response as a mother to respond to your child crying. And so it was like it was almost built in. Like I didn't have to guess about their needs or wonder or ask or probe relationally. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like there's so much in their own selves that I have to like go in and I have to say, I want to know you. I want to be in your life. I want to just all of that. And so, yeah, that's kind of where we're moving into, where I feel like it is needed a lot of like deep conversations and pursuing them and all of that. So,
and they don't want to talk. So how do you kind of break past that?
Yeah. How do I kind of like go in after them? Well, one of my kids is a big talker. And so I normally talk to him first. I find the one that's a big talker and I go in, the two older boys share a room and the two little boys share a room. Okay. So I kind of go in and talk to the one who's a big talker, and he hears me talking. The one who's not a huge talker hears me kind of like getting into the conversation, and slowly but surely he'll start kind of piping in. So I try to like try to use the roundabout way so he That's doesn't good. Feel like he is being attacked by the mom who, you know, wants to know everything. Because I was a super private kid. And so yeah. I know what it's like to kind of not want to talk to your parents and not want them to know all the things. And so I try to kind of like make it a hospitable environment without demanding his intimacy, if that makes sense.
Yes, that's good. Yeah, I love it. I've got to figure out what, and I'm slowly figuring out, but I like things tidy, and my daughter is really happy in a mess. She's like, yeah. I don't mean this in a bad way, but like that Peanuts character who walks around with just yes. a trail of dust everywhere. Yes.
That's how I am.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's what relate. You can relate. Well, and it like physically hurts my eyeballs to be in her bedroom, even after she's quote unquote cleaned it. And so
right.
I don't want to like connecting at bedtime. I'm like, I can't, I just can't
in here.
Yeah. Mm-mm. So we have to do it in the living room. And so then we're still doing
Good
it.
Coping. Yeah. It's just making it work for your family. And yeah. it's like, I feel like in adolescence, it's like they were when they were newborns, like every week is a new thing. I don't have babies anymore, but I have a lot of people online that are younger new moms now. And they're always talking about like, at this week, there's sleep regression and then blah, blah, blah. And I always think about like, yes, you always think you've got it figured out and then they change. And that's how I feel like it is in adolescence too. And they're just, you know, just so much going on in their hearts and their heads. And I think so much of it is helping them navigate it and helping them know that they're not alone, helping them know it's normal and that, you know, these are all big feelings and you're not crazy for feeling them or thinking them. And so just trying to be compassionate with them and helping them kind of get through these difficult years. Cause I think they're just hard for everybody.
You're
growing into yourself, you know?
Yes. It's very awkward. Very awkward. Okay. So your book, Preach to Yourself.
Yeah.
Subtitle, When Your Inner Critic Comes Calling, Talk Back with Truth. I first of all love the... I love the can with the string as the the cover is so cute.
Thank you.
Okay, so basically I'm going to tell you what, it just came like 2 days ago. So I've gotten probably halfway through.
Yes.
I hate that. I wish I was all the way done.
Listen, it's okay.
But I am super hooked. So you basically took a poll and asked women, like, what's the bad news you tell yourself? That's such a great question. And you said that you found that we kind of fall into three camps, either I can't do this, I'm not enough, or nothing's ever going to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then you go into the brain research. And I thought that was so fascinating. I will let you talk about it in just a second. But I just want to tell you everything I know. Okay, so the struggle with our brain, with taking our thoughts captive and all that kind of stuff, to me, it's exhausting. And I can't do it. Like I said, I struggle with perfectionism, which is dumb because it's impossible. But I feel like a failure because I keep not being able to take them captive. But you just really spun it on its head for me. And you said, you know what? God would have taken that away if it wasn't something that could be a good thing, the struggle with our brain. And so tell me more. I love it so far. It's really, it's really speaking to my heart. So go on.
So this survey was kind of what started this whole trail, this whole rabbit trail. And really, it resonated so much with how I already feel, how I have the same feeling that you do of like, this is never ending. This is the work of my life. And I think
my husband always says, well, don't worry, it can only last a lifetime, this problem. Yes. I'm like, that's not funny. But he thinks it's so funny.
It's like when my husband does something annoying or I do something annoying to him, we always say like, it's only forever, babe. It's only forever. You're stuck with me. I have the same kind of inner critic. I'm an oldest daughter. I have little brothers. I think it kind of set me up for feeling responsible for everything, feeling responsible for everybody. And as I did this survey, you know, everybody didn't say it so tidy, like, I can't do this, or I'm not enough, or this is never going to change. But there are various outpourings of that. That's kind of what it boiled down to. And I realized that if you go from, I can't do this, if you don't nip that in the bud, then it kind of trails into, I'm not enough. And if you don't nip that in the bud, eventually you'll get to, this is never going to change. Mm-hmm. And when humans feel like things are never going to change, that's hopelessness. Yeah. And so I realized everybody feels this way. And even the people who aren't perfectionists, I'm not a perfectionist, but I still hear this in my head. And yeah, if God wanted this to be different, it could have been different, just could have poofed. And this would be, our brains would work differently. And we could just like, look at the Bible and we could soak it up and be done with it. And that would be the end. But the Christian life, the spiritual life, isn't like that. It's, we learn by doing, we learn by obeying, and we learn by making progress in something. And it's kind of like I was talking about that Cup of Joe article, or about your project serving your idea, not your idea serving your projects. As you do it and as you grow, you do it differently the next time. And so I think that this idea, I always heard like, take your thoughts captive or renew your mind. And I was like, oh, that's so annoying, because what does that even mean? Yeah. How do you do that? What does that mean? Why? I mean, I understand why you would do it if I'm like thinking pragmatically, but it always seemed kind of like something that only like monks could do or something. Or it was something like, you only take your thoughts captive when you're thinking about bad things. Like growing up in like a youth group, it would be like, I just thought like boys took their thoughts captive when they were thinking about girls in whatever way. And I kind of came to realize that this idea of like bad news and good news, like if we know the good news, why do we believe bad news? And also the idea of like, why can I know something in my head, but it doesn't sink in? I can know it, but my life does not reflect it. And
all Romans 7.
Right. And so like, I just kind of became obsessed with this like idea and how it connects to each other. And the back of the book, I don't know if it says it in the copy that you have, but the back of the book says like, it's been said that the 18 inches between your head and your heart is the longest distance to travel, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what set my mind on this idea, is how do we eventually conform our mind to that of Christ? And how does that change how our life reflects God? And so, yeah, it is exciting. What I was fascinated with was that the brain science matches up with what scripture tells us. And yes, that a lot of times, you know, people want to say that science is at odds with scripture. And I just think that the more that we learn, the more it actually reflects scripture. So that was exciting to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so in my humble but accurate opinion, we are heading into prime photo-taking season. There are fall leaves that you know you're going to try to get pictures of your kids in that are cute. It may or may not work, but you're going to try. There's Halloween costumes. There's scarves and boots. Stop it. This is an amazing time to take good pictures. And once you take those pictures, you need to get them up on your wall. They can't hang out in your phone. That's where Canvas People saves the day. They transform your photos into beautiful, unique, museum-quality canvases that are easy to hang and make fabulous home decor. And right now, they're going to give today's listeners 11x14 canvas, a $69.99 value for free. That's right, free. Just pay shipping. Visit canvaspeople.com, upload your photo, and enter the code SWP. Ordering is so easy, and when the canvas comes, it looks amazing. I somehow feel so proud of myself, even though I really didn't do anything but use Canvas People. I know you're going to love Canvas People too. So again, that's canvaspeople.com, coupon code SWP.
Well, so you talk about the bad news loop, and I love just the wording of that, you know, because even, and you said, like, even before you're not even out of bed yet, it can start.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I just love the quotes you have from so many really good quotes that instead of, like, letting ourselves talk to us, we need to start talking to ourselves and telling ourselves what's up.
Yeah.
So good.
And that's when I kind of go to, like, my default self, it's kind of like, I always think of when they say, like, flesh versus spirit, like, my default self is my flesh. And it's like the basis part of me that's, like, ingrained from when I was a tiny person. And it's just, yeah, it's those lies that we tell ourselves. And it's always in line with flesh. Like, the lies we tell ourselves, there's never, like, I could go be the most godly person in America. That's not the lie we tell ourselves. The lie we tell ourselves is, like, there is no way. I'm not loving that person well. I'm not blah, 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 whatever it is. And for me, I go into it in the book, but the thing I tell myself all the time is I can't do this, which is funny because I try to live my life in a way that says I can do this. And I actually do feel pretty empowered to kind of conquer problems and see the world and think that it's possible to change it. But the interesting thing is it's like, that's what's on the other side of that lie. I'm an Enneagram 3. So I think that that's the part of me that reflects how God is that way, how he's a mover and a shaker and a doer. And so I think the lie that I believe is in direct opposition with that. It's the thing that tries to shut that off before the day even starts. And it's the thing that tries to say, like, this thing that is like God in you, you're not even going to have a chance to exercise that or to try to do that, because I'm going to convince you here that you can't. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, with perfectionism, I think it's the same kind of thing. Like, God is a God of order and of, you know, creation and all that. And when you get stopped at the, like, it's never going to be perfect, or it's, these things are all wrong or whatever. It's that paralyzing thing. It's that thing that keeps us from becoming more like Christ. So,
So as you have started telling yourself good news and the truth, what have you seen change in your own life?
Yeah. It's like a muscle. It's easier to rebound. It doesn't mean I hear it less, but it's easier for me to not get stuck in it. It's easier for me to kind of just say, like, yeah, not real. We're going to move past that. And I shouldn't say I don't hear it less. It's not as knee jerk. It's not like every single thing is like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. It is more like prolonged between that, or it takes, you know, the ninth bad thing happening in a day to kind of fall into that. But it feels like a muscle if I kind of stop battling that. And in the book, one like mental picture that I kind of had was, it's like you're going into a forest and you're like blazing a trail. And I kind of try to think of that when I'm finding it particularly difficult to kind of push through this bad news in a particular day. Cause I like the idea of being like a wild woman and like a pioneer and a trailblazer. And so I kind of like just create an idea in my head that, like, a picture that is doing what I imagine doing in my mind and like blazing a new trail. And sometimes right now we bought a house 8 years ago that has like a beautiful backyard, and it's lovely. It's like very naturey. But the thing about that is nature wants to like take back over. Okay. It like is growing back in like all the ways. And we've had like a very nice wet summer. And so like everything is growing, and it's crazy the energy that it takes to be disciplined and to go out there and say, like, no, this is our yard. Like, forsythia bushes, you cannot grow like all the way into our yard. Like, this is our space. We're going to take back this space. And that's kind of how I have to think about it in my head, is that if it has been a time where these weeds of bad news have had a lot of time to take root, or if the conditions in my mind have been particularly advantageous for weeds to grow, then I have to go in and it's like brute force sometimes. You have to go in and you have to like take back what's yours and You have to say, like, no, this is the line. This is the boundary line. And you're not going to come further. You're not going to encroach. And so I kind of, yeah, make kind of a word picture in my mind so that that way it feels, because our minds are, we can't see our mind. Mm-hmm. So it can feel very ephemeral or very difficult to access. Like, it's that idea of taking it captive. It's like, what do you do? Do you like, is there a thought bubble and you grab it out of the sky? I don't know. Yeah. But when I can kind of put a mental picture to it, it kind of, for some reason, helps me to make progress with it.
Oh, yeah. And it's so funny, but every time I go outside and do yard work, which is not a lot, and I don't love it.
I don't love it either.
It is always ends up being like this spiritual experience.
Yes. It's something about like growth and renewal and the harvesting and the tilling and the, all of that reaping and sowing. And
there might have been a reason he used all that agriculture language.
I know. And I think it's really profound. And really anything that we do in life, it has that same kind of anything we build. It has that same, you know, theme running through it. So
many mysteries of God woven into everything that we can see. I think that we feel so much more power over the physical, and the spiritual can feel, we forget that we have authority, especially in Christ. We have authority that the most authority, ultimately we win. Right. And so, but if we can't see it, we feel like it wins kind of.
Yeah. Or it just gets pushed to the side, or it's not as urgent as the more pressing physical things that we have here. But I really found that when I kind of did this work of like taking thoughts captive, like really silencing the bad news, it made the rest of my spiritual life feel like I had more energy for it. I wasn't like constantly wasting my spiritual energy on this like low hanging fruit. I was able to kind of challenge the more difficult things in things that like generosity or like just things that you really can look at your life on the layer beneath the first layer on the onion. Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
it's really good. Oh man, I like it. I can't wait to finish. And I would still be reading. I spent all morning reading.
I got the advanced reader copy of the book, probably the same time you did. And I was like, oh man, this is kind of like a skinny little tome. And I am not overly wordy. I try to, it's like my closet. I try to keep a closet that's like fairly minimal. Mm-hmm. And I like my fiction books to be as long as possible, but I like my nonfiction books to be like to the point and helpful. Yeah. Yeah. And so I didn't like just write a whole bunch of extra words in order to fill pages. I tried to keep it something that was actionable and readable. Mm-hmm. So I hope that that serves people well. And I hope that they're able to kind of get through it and then get to the work that they have in their life.
Yeah, no, it's really good. Very, very good. I love it.
Thanks.
Okay. All right. So I want to finish with a lightning round where I ask you questions.
And
you
These are my
them
favorite.
As quick as possible. Okay.
These are my favorite.
Okay. So if you had to make a house out of food, what would be the best food to make a house out of? I'm sure you were just thinking about this very question.
Yes, I was. I think graham crackers, because that's how you make gingerbread houses when you don't want to make gingerbread. Use graham crackers.
There you go.
I feel like
I know.
It's a natural building block.
It is a natural building block. See, I'm thinking like practically, I don't think that.
Oh, like withstanding the elements.
That wouldn't last. But yeah, I mean, since it's not a real question, it doesn't really matter. But I'm thinking like beef jerky would probably be.
Okay.
I don't know.
I see that.
Okay. So who is your favorite Disney hero?
I don't even know. I'm the worst. Maybe it's having boys. We didn't watch a lot of Disney movies with my kids. And since I was a kid, I don't know, maybe Ariel. I think Ariel she's not really a hero, but she was my favorite Disney princess.
She had the best songs, man, and such good hair.
That's true. That hair, redhead,
stop.
The best.
So good. Okay. Would you rather be invisible or fly?
Fly, because I don't want to be invisible. I don't want to hear what people say about me when I'm not around. So many people say like, I just want to know what people say. I'm like, no, there's a reason that you don't know that. Like, just let people have their privacy. And I think it'd be fun to fly. So
that's what I want. Yeah, that's good. See, I think I'd be invisible. I don't know. The Harry Potter invisibility cloak is like fascinating to me. So
yeah, I hear that. Okay. It's like, how does invisibility serve me? You know, like what do I get out of that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I could like read a book in my house and nobody would jack with me.
Yes, true, true. I always, my husband will be like, all the kids will be playing nicely and he'll like want to go in the room that they're in. And I'm like, don't do it. Once they see you, they're going to need like 10,000 things. And it won't be that they need 10,000 things from him.
Oh, no.
It'll be they need 10,000 things from me. Yes. And so, yeah, that I see the invisibility.
See the invisibility. It's like the invisibility. Motherhood invisibility for a minute.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, how is it? Like, just the other day I was talking to my husband and I wasn't feeling good and I was cooking dinner and he was just like sitting there and they all came to me for mm-hmm. everything. And I was like, mm-hmm. what is it like for you? Like, how do right. you do that?
It's like a fatherhood invisibility.
Yeah, it's like he has it. Yes.
Yeah. Let's manufacture that. We got to figure that out.
Get some of those in Nelly Taft, please.
Yes.
Okay, so the best smelling place you've ever lived.
Best smelling place I've ever lived.
Or ever been. Or just, yeah, is there a place that smells
this
great?
This is a great question. I love the smell of, like, lake houses. Like, okay. the, like, weird, musty, like, mm-hmm. yeah, like, little old, vintagey, musty. Smells like old books and, you know, towels that are sun-dried. I think that probably. Yeah. I have a lot of romanticism about lakes and lake houses and things like that. Our yearly vacation is to a big old lake in Tennessee. So I think that's probably. That's
I lived next to the Nestle's Chocolate Factory when I lived in England. I smelled like brownies all day long.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. So, okay. So finally, what is something right now? You can't even stop talking about it, Haley, if you tried.
I am loving iced coffee in the morning. I have a jar of cold brew at home and almond milk, unsweetened vanilla.
Okay.
You can buy it from like everywhere. It has like 30 calories a cup. It's mm-hmm. like water practically. And I keep a jar at home, a jar at work. I fill up a tumbler of ice, cold brew coffee, and unsweetened vanilla almond milk when I get in the car to go to the office, and then I drink it. And when I get to the office, I refill it because I have some of the same things at the office. And mm-hmm. it's amazing. It's like, I feel like it's such a great, I'm trying not to have like 9 billion calories every day because I'm the kind of person who's like 6 donuts sounds reasonable for breakfast. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Feels like right.
Yeah, I'm not doing this because I'm like a CrossFitter or anything like that. I'm doing it because I'm turning into an adult. And so I don't need 9,000 calories. So this to me feels like a great alternative. I generally like black coffee, but black coffee iced is not as good as it is warm to me.
I agree with that.
I don't know why.
Because I love black coffee hot, but then cold, I'm like, I need a little
cream. Weird. Yeah. Yeah. And so this is like a way that I can do that. So, yeah.
I love it.
That's it. And at Aldi, it's like so cheap.
I've never tried unsweetened almond milk that's vanilla. I don't like sweet drinks.
I don't either. So I don't like all of the iced coffees that have like all the syrups in it. I don't like that. But it like just gives it a little vanilla-y taste, but it isn't sweet. You should try it. It's wonderful.
Well, Haley, thank you.
This was so fun. I'm glad we finally got to connect.
Haley gave us a lot to think about there. So what will your strategy be to struggle well based on what Haley said? I pulled out a couple ideas. Number one, in the area of family, I loved when she talked about adolescent boys and some of them just don't want to talk. I tend to think it's because they're up to no good. If they don't want to share something, but that's because I always shared everything. So sometimes we have to realize just because they want to keep some stuff to themselves doesn't mean there's anything wrong. Maybe all of you knew that and I just was the only one. But I liked how she talked about creating a hospitable environment for them to talk and then just seeing what happens. The thing I'm learning in parenting is the more pressure you put on them doesn't always go better. Okay, so in the area of identity, I loved when she talked about how pivots are not failures. So maybe you struggle well this week by reframing something that you had been calling a failure and realizing, no, that's just a pivot. I don't know if this is encouraging to anybody, but I used to have an Etsy shop, and before that, I had a blog, and before that, I was a nurse, and before that, I was a teacher, and I tend to think those things were like me not doing the right thing, but I don't agree with that anymore. So there. Another way you could struggle well this week maybe is, again, in the area of identity, she talked about how sometimes marketers are trying to make us feel like we're missing out on something so that we'll buy their product. And I know that I sometimes buy stuff that I don't need to buy because I feel like I actually do need to buy it. So maybe this week you struggle well by pushing back when you hear those messages, replacing them with truth, or spotting the lie, because then you can kind of weed it out. So in the area of spirituality, I thought we could struggle well this week by considering not just listening to all the bad news we tell ourselves, but kind of standing up and telling ourselves what's actually up. She identified three lies. I can't do this can turn into I'm not enough, can turn into nothing is ever going to change. So which one of those do you identify with most? Maybe it's all of them, but I would say struggle well this week by identifying which one and preaching to yourself about it. I would also highly encourage Haley's new book. I think it's called Preach to Yourself. I don't have it right here in front of me. That would have been a good idea. That would have been a professional move, don't you think? But I would recommend getting that. You can find it on my Amazon link, on the show notes, as well at Mom Struggling Well. Nope, that's not the name of the show anymore, Emily. StruggleWellProject.com. Okay, so you need to promise me you're going to show up this time next week when we are going to talk to Amanda Williams, whose middle name is legit Bible, and she is one of the people who started She Reads Truth. Also, as always, when you shop on Amazon this week, make sure to use the Struggle Well Project affiliate link. You'll be helping the show, and it doesn't cost you a single penny. Thank you to all of you who use it. It really does make a difference. That link is amazon.com/shop/Struggle Well Project. If you bookmark that link, then you can use it every time, and you never even have to think about it again. Also, don't forget to join me on the socials at Struggle Well Project. It's not just me there, though. You'll be joining a gaggle of other women just like you who are working on the Struggle Well Project called Life. Let me pray for us. Well, hold it. Before I pray, I want to let you know that the Wellness Revelation wellness group that I take people through, it's all online. It's 9 weeks long. It's a weekly Zoom conference call with me and 19 friends that you haven't met yet. And that might sound scary, but I promise you, every time we've done it, it's been amazing. And I love seeing the way God puts people in these groups that are the exact ones that need to be there. And I'm not just making that up. It is really, really great the way they all connect. And I get to know y'all better. So if you are interested in doing that, I'm going to be starting it in January. You can find out more information and get your spot. These classes always sell out. Go to strugglewellproject.com/wellness. Now I'm praying, unless I think of something else, but I don't think so. Lord, you're so good to us. Thank you for the time in which we live where we can listen to podcasts, where we can talk to people who live really far away and hear all the wisdom that they have to share with us. Even though all we can see is the ways that we feel like we're not measuring up, thank you that your eyes towards us are kind. That is just such a big deal to me. I feel like I say it in every single prayer, but I'm thankful for it every single time. God, I pray for these sweet sisters and the ways in which they are loving their families and the people around them in the small ways that are hidden that nobody sees. But Lord, they please you. And I pray that this week they would know that and that they would be encouraged. Lord, help them root out lies and get those the heck out of town, because we do not have time for that. I pray that you would help them to preach themselves, tell themselves what's up, and not just keep listening to that bad news. Lord, you are holy and you are mighty and you are so, so good. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.